Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org
or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration. For people of my generation, this is very trailing edge baby boomer. Last year, you could qualify as a baby boomer, born 1964. The name Jerry Falwell, well, it's more associated with the Reagan era than the Trump era. But for people of a younger generation, the name Jerry Falwell with a junior attached is definitely a Trump era name. Now, there have been religious scandals and evangelical scandals for several decades now that have rocked the evangelical world, and Jerry Falwell Jr.'s is so nothing new. What does it mean for the future of his very successful Christian university, and what does it mean for the future of, well, Jerry Falwell Jr.'s Trump support? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about Jerry Falwell Jr., evangelical scandals, and the future of Liberty University. Terry Mattingly joins us. He's senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So what makes this a bigger story for national news media? The name Falwell, or Jerry Falwell Jr.'s affiliation with President Trump.
Well, of course it's Trump. And of course it's Trump that has given Liberty such a spectacular kind of rise in the media world within the last 4 years. Let me turn the question around. If Jonathan Falwell, the pastor of Thomas Rhodes Baptist Church, who took his father's place in 2007, if Jonathan Falwell was president of Liberty University, and Liberty University was a large, fairly normal Christian university, would this be anywhere near as big a story with someone with a completely different approach to life and to ministry was its leader? Would it be the same story?
No, I don't think it would.
As opposed to a kind of raconteur, entrepreneurial, real estate dealing, much more aggressive Jerry Falwell Jr. Although if you read profiles of him, he kind of slipped into that personality and that mode really quickly when he became president of Liberty. I think you could say that to some degree they made the ambitious choice. It's also possible that Jonathan Falwell didn't want the job. It's also possible that Jerry Falwell Sr. had made decisions earlier that Jerry Falwell Jr. was the most logical person to succeed him. Whether or not that was something Jerry Falwell Jr. always wanted, I don't think we'll know that for a long, long time. But no, this is page one news and spectacular stuff because of this kind of mini-me personality thing that's been going on between Trump and Jerry Falwell Jr.
So, for people of our generation, your kind of heartland baby boomer, kind of the meaty part of the baby boomer, I'm trailing edge baby boomer. When I hear Jerry Falwell, I immediately picture kind of Reagan era moral majority, the dad who was a force of nature when it came to American politics for quite some time. Do the people who occupy, younger people, I should say, who occupy newsrooms today, do they make that association at all?
Oh, I think, but their editors do. I think that editors who are at the top of the journalism food chain still see Liberty and the Falwell brand as crucial to the rise of the religious right, which, of course, is when the Visigoths began coming out of the piney woods of the Bible Belt and threatening blue zip codes everywhere. You know, with the creation of a political movement that became a part of the Republican Party with the grassroots clout to compete with the business and country club wing of the Republican Party. In other words, religion, they drug their religion into the world of politics, which was, of course, heresy. And Falwell's name will always be attached to that. And Falwell gets attached to the era of the televangelism scandals, of which I'm old enough that I actually covered those. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina in the early 80s at the beginning of the scandals involving Jim and Tammy Baker, scandals which, gosh, in so many ways, I've been having flashbacks all week to hours I spent on the telephone listening to anonymous people telling me all kinds of dirt about the private life, the luxuries, and the sexual escapades of Jim and Tammy Baker. The scandal in many ways reminds me so much of what we're going through now with Jerry Falwell Jr. and his wife, and the riches and the wealth and the power. And then, of course, you remember that when Baker fell, who did the board of PTL call in as the stable administrator to try to save the day? Do you remember?
I don't.
Jerry Falwell. Someone completely different than the glitzy Pentecostalism of the Baker crowd. It's very important to remember that Jerry Falwell was not a television star. They call him a televangelist all the time. He never did evangelism. He was a religious broadcaster in the old religious radio sense of that word. But Falwell got involved in politics. Falwell got to stand next to Ronald Reagan and became a brand name. And as so often happens with some evangelical institutions, there's a tendency to set up a kind of dynasty of DNA where members of the family rise to the top and rise to the top and rise to the top until something stops that chain. And we saw that kind of in the Oral Roberts University case, and now we're seeing it with Liberty.
You ask a very kind of journalism-y question. In a recent column, you asked the question of whether or not Jerry Falwell Jr. hung a lantern, and you're going to have to explain that term, before bigger issues, even than his own personal dalliances with Liberty University, came to light. What are you talking about?
Well, listeners need to realize that I wrote that post and put it up, and about 1 hour later, all heck fire broke loose, because that was when the Reuters piece landed, and all the other big stuff came out. And as it turned out, the statement that Jerry Falwell Jr. had made to the Washington Examiner, my wife had an affair, I was not involved, we love each other, things are going to be okay, that thing that he had sent to the Washington Examiner was definitely an attempt to hang a lantern on the problems that were coming. Okay, so what does that term mean? In Washington Beltway speak, best exemplified by Chris Matthews, of course, who's had his own fall from grace at MSNBC, of Hardball. He wrote a book called Hardball, and this was one of the essential Washington terms that he used. Hang a lantern on your problems. What that means is when you know that something bad is coming, break the story yourself, put your own spin on it, establish your view of it, maybe even produce a document so that reporters have something to quote without having to bother you, so that when the hurricane comes in, you got there first and the public got to hear you describe it in your own terms. Falwell doing that with the conservative publication, the Washington Examiner, I think that definitely then pushed the Go DEFCON Red button at Reuters to put their story out immediately, and thus, we went into the craziness of Monday, with has Falwell resigned? He said he did. Maybe he said he didn't. They seem to be in negotiations. What does the board say? Oh, my God, look, it's midnight and the craziness of Monday, which now has rolled into the next stage of this scandal, which to me all comes down to a very simple question. Jerry Falwell Jr. is a lawyer. I think we can assume that he knows what the pool boy, what evidence he has. He knows what the claims will be. Does Jerry Falwell want to go under oath and put Giancarlo Grande under oath? Or does he want to basically reach some sort of settlement and go on to his new life, which I presume will be doing something for the cable channel that Donald Trump will form in 2021 after he is not reelected president?
Okay, let's talk about the fertile ground that is journalistically open now to Reuters. Reuters claims to have at least access to, and they have actually, someone has released recordings of phone messages.
One recording
of phone messages that are, they don't exactly serve as a smoking gun, but boy howdy, if they're not a smoking gun, what a coincidence. But also text messages, even video chat messages that have been recorded.
They've seen a screenshot from a video chat, and that telltale phrase that, you know, that Becky Falwell is nude in the picture and in her conversation with her lover, and it says Jerry Falwell is peeking in somehow. I can think of all kinds of things. Let me just say this. None of this is under oath yet. None of this has been presented as evidence and clearly seen by a jury, a judge, or anyone else. And this is where I start having the PTL flashbacks. One of the main things I remember about the PTL scandal is that at this stage of the scandal, lurid stuff beginning to come out, all kinds of fire and flame and light and flashes and bombs going off. When you look at it from the perspective we have later, after evidence is presented and after we know much more of the story, it becomes apparent that the key players on both sides have lots of stuff to hide, and the key players on both sides were not telling all of the truth, and the key players on both sides were selectively parsing the evidence to make their case look as strong as possible with media.
So what do you do as a journalist when you're sitting there at Reuters and you have had phone conversations with the pool boy and you've seen screenshots, and what do you do with that?
A screenshot, apparently. Yeah.
What do you do with this stuff?
Well, here's the deal. You're not going to get a story where you can have Falwell directly address the evidence and give you his take. This is slowly beginning to trickle out. He says that about, what was his figure? He said 90% of what Reuters printed is false. Isn't that just like the most lovely answer you've heard lately? But that's part of what I'm saying. Reuters and Giancarlo Carla have put their case out there. And of course, Reuters has what Carla wants them to have, what the pool boy wants them to have. Reporters really need to remember that there can be very messed up people doing bad things on both sides of this story. And so at this point, I, as an old reporter who lived through the televangelism wars, Pearlygate was what we called them. Watergate goes TV evangelism, so everyone called it Pearlygate. Looking back on it, I would tell reporters, well, that's a very nice one or two things you've just shown me. Unless Reuters has a file folder of stuff that they're not mentioning, and I don't know why they would not be mentioning it if they have it and they've seen it. I think they have, at this point, what Giancarlo Carla wants them to have. And meanwhile, on the other side, you had Falwell, who, this gets us into the relationship between him and his board of directors. board of trustees at his college, and him flying around in a jet, and the, you know, the wild NFL coach type salary he's being paid, and other things. This gets us into what I'm really interested in, and I hope some reporters will be. It won't have anything to do with Trump, but you know me, I'm idealistic. I always hope that there are reporters who are going to be interested in something of substance. To me, the real question at this point is not what happens to Jerry Falwell Jr. A lot of bad things are going to come out. Some of it's going to be accurate. Some of it's not going to be accurate. Some things are going to look really bad. He's going to still say they're still misinterpreting it. Yada, yada. I'm interested at this point in what happens to Liberty University, which, contrary to the elite media, is not a tremendously influential Christian university. It's not even as big as they want to say it is. And there's no way that it has as much influence in evangelicalism as the press wants to say it does. If you read the Washington Post coverage, where you have some veteran religion reporters, including one, Sarah Pulliam Bailey, who speaks fluent Christian education and evangelical education, their wordings are much more cautious, and they like to stress that Liberty University has become very powerful among conservative evangelicals and political evangelicals. And by that I mean it's very influential among the people who decided to back Trump early on. But when you get to a national meeting of Christian colleges and universities, and the presidents and the provosts are there, Liberty is rarely there and does not have much influence. Liberty, Todd, something you and I have talked about. The press has trouble covering this crazy, wild world of independent evangelical megachurches, independent ministries, the kind of the lone rangers of evangelicalism, as opposed to the institutions and groups that have been around a while. One of the things reporters really need to ask right now is, who are the natural supporters and constituents of Liberty University? Now, you'll hear them called a Southern Baptist university. That's something that happened fairly late in the game. It's definitely linked to tensions and splits among Southern Baptists. And they are, for example, Liberty is not linked to the ordinary Baptist convention historically of Virginia, which tends to lean toward the, quote, moderate, unquote, side of things. They're connected to the Southern Baptist conservatives of Virginia. But even when you look in Baptist circles, you don't see Liberty connected to the influential institutions of Christian higher education. They are the elephant stampeding through the China closet of Christian education over the last 20 years or so. They've gone rogue and stayed rogue. Now, they've gained some students, 15,000 students, and a lot of people online. But there's no way that Liberty is as influential as the elite press seem to think they are, because they're connected to Trump and the Falwell brand name, which rings bells in major newsrooms. Here's what's interesting to me. What if the trustees of Liberty and the natural forces that are supposed to control a university are its trustees and its faculty? And often there's a lot of tension between faculty and trustees. In the case of Liberty, you had this all-powerful force at the top that it appears nobody could question. Hang on for just a second. I want to throw one more piece of information here for our listeners. For years, a friend of mine, a journalist who, for other reasons, has had lots of reason to study Christian colleges and universities, once told me something really interesting out of their decades of experience. They said most Christian colleges have one of three different kinds of presidents. Now, you could put this in a Lutheran context also. In one of these universities, the president is a super pastor. It's someone from the denomination or supporting group. It's a denominational leader. And that person is basically a fundraiser, someone who keeps the churches happy, keeps the denomination happy, and then they need a provost who runs the university academically. Another model is where you have the president who is kind of an academic visionary and leader, and that person needs a really strong vice president for finances who raises money, who goes out there and beats the bushes and builds the college and universities. The rarest of the forms is the entrepreneur builder president. And that's exactly what Jerry Falwell Jr. was. And a decade or so ago, this person told me that when you've got a really talented entrepreneur, someone who is building that school and raising money, building buildings and doing all of this successful stuff, that person has to have a strong board who will keep them in check, keep their ego in check, and keep the community of the university as one. What we have here is that third model gone crazy. And so now we're going to see, is Liberty University a Christian university with a theological approach to life, a mission that it wants to pursue, and will they go get themselves a talented, traditional Christian educator, someone from a prominent Southern Baptist university perhaps, someone with experience running what Liberty has become, which is a school with a lot of potential, a lot of money, a wonderful campus, but it's also a university facing a huge downturn in enrollment because of the end of the millennial generation numbers. All Christian colleges and universities, all private colleges and universities, are going to face incredible challenges that have only been pushed up in the schedule by the COVID crisis. What will happen to Liberty University, and what will it become? If I was a reporter, I would be trying to find out if there are people on that campus that want to see Liberty form some ties to other colleges and universities, to stop being this rogue element guerrilla education thing that they have been under Falwell. There are talented and fine faculty at Liberty. They've lost a few in the last year or two under Falwell. They could have lost a whole lot more if Falwell hadn't fallen. Will Liberty join something like the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities? For years, I tried to recruit Liberty students to come to my program in Washington, and they said over and over that my program wasn't politically conservative enough for someone from Liberty to be allowed to come. Now, that was the Falwell administration talking. That was Jerry Falwell Jr. talking. There were faculty who wanted students to get to come to programs in the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. And there are tensions there. And just this last February, I believe it was, a new organization formed called the International Alliance for Christian Education. And if you read its members, it's very apparent that this is a world of more conservative Baptist and evangelicals. But there are all kinds of people linked to this organization with tremendous experience, credentials, and a history of ethics and standards. There are people there that are not going to their first rodeo. Who will Liberty turn to in the weeks and months ahead to try to kind of come in from the Falwell disaster to form some new ties that bind? I think that's a great story. It's an important story because Liberty does have students. They've got a big campus. They've got some money. What will Liberty become after Falwell is a remarkably fascinating question if you care about Liberty University as much as you care about Donald Trump.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Jerry Falwell Jr., evangelical scandals, and the future of Liberty University. Karen Swallow Pryor, an 20-year veteran of Liberty University that left recently, was on CNN with Anderson Cooper. We'll talk about what she had to say next. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
For your next family vacation, consider our beach house, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Independent and in the black for 12 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly about Jerry Falwell Jr., evangelical scandals, Liberty University, and the media coverage of all three. Terry is senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, I want to get to something that Karen Swallow Pryor said yesterday on CNN, but before we get there, if you take the sex sizzle out of this story, if you take the Trump, very prominent Trump supporter, president of the university out of the story, do you think journalists care about the future of Liberty University?
I hope they do. And I think the Falwell name and the, oh my gosh, well, hold, you took sex out of it. The fall of an evangelical hypocrite is always going to get some coverage. But there's no question right now that the perception that Falwell was crucial to the victory of Trump has cranked the story up to 11 on a guitar amplifier with only 10 numbers on it. But let me stress here something. I have been impressed in some of the reporting coming out of the Washington Post and National Public Radio, both of whom, by the way, have religion reporters on this that, like I said, know what they're doing and know what evangelicalism is about. I'm impressed by the timing of the reports that the Trump camp may have courted Falwell right at a crucial moment. Falwell, it appeared, was going to be endorsing someone else for the presidency and then switched to Trump quite quickly. And the timing of that switch is suspicious. I don't think anything is proven there. But if he helped Trump get enough of the very conservative evangelicals to score in the early and middle primaries and begin winning delegates, that is a crucial story. And trust me, I'm not worried about whether political reporters and other reporters are going to continue to chase that story. You know they will, and I think it's valid that they do. What happens to Liberty becomes, you know, like I said, a crucial question that I'm very interested in. If I was going to sum this thing up, Karen made a someone who I've known for almost 20 years now, she made some very interesting points. But the main thing she said is that there was no one with the power to challenge Falwell on that campus. No one could tell him that he was wrong. No one could ask him if he was wrong. No one could ask questions about the Jets and the salaries and the money and some of his actions in favor of Trump. Alumni started asking them. Some professors started asking them quietly. An organization called Save 71 began doing some things to try to get the attention of the trustees. But ultimately, the academic structural side of the story, it's all now what will come out of the trustees. So I am... Do you have any questions about what she said or what struck you about Karen's words?
Well, she's been one of the most vocal refugees from Liberty, and she has experience there, 20 years of experience teaching English, yeah. I believe. And she was almost immediately on CNN with Anderson Cooper, a pretty fair interview, I think, given yes. that it was CNN. And she used the term that the power was absolutely unchecked. Coming mm-hmm. back to that question, the question you were raising about a entrepreneurial president.
Yes.
You said they need a strong board. It sounds like Liberty's board just let Jerry Falwell Jr. walk all over them, and now they have finally have reason to get rid of him. Valid reason, if it's all true.
Yeah, and the question here, it's the old journalism question: what did the board know, and when did they know it? You could also ask, what did some members of the board suspect, and when did they suspect it? And were they too scared to even ask because of the degree to which Falwell Jr. was the goose that laid the golden egg in terms of fundraising and connections to the conservative political world that is loyal to Trump in different parts of our country? Yeah, I think the trustees are the story now. And this raises to me two questions. I want to kind of wrap up what I've been trying to say, because I knew I got off on one of my benders there a second ago and threw a lot of things at people at once. In terms of where does the story go next, I think one of the crucial questions, and we'll know this, I think, pretty quickly, does either Giancarlo Granda or Jerry Falwell Jr. want to end up on a witness stand under oath? Who wants to put their story legally on the record? Who isn't afraid of being under oath and seeing the evidence come out under discovery? That's question number one. Question number two is, where does Liberty turn for connections in trying to pick a new leader? Where do they turn for ethical help? Where does this board get the information it needs to know where to go? Do they even know what the finances of the school really are? It's extremely rare, but occasionally, if you're dealing with people who want to act with really crucial humility, which is not a bad thing for Christians, the entire board could resign and set up a committee to select a new board. That the new committee could involve faculty members. It could involve Jonathan Falwell. It could involve people who have been on the board in the past and did a good job. It could involve key faculty members. You could involve one or two crucial donors that you absolutely have to keep their trust. But it would be a tremendous show of humility and responsibility if the entire board of Liberty University would resign.
Terry Mattingly is senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's also founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to study the hymn O Blessed the House with Pastor Sean Denzer, director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Well, I guess we'll see where it goes, because a scandal often will uncover other improprieties and those questions like, what did they know and when did they know it? I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.